Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. It's great to be with God's people today. This is my third Sunday in a row filling in for Julia, and it really reminds me a lot of why I decided to retire. She's retired too, and so I think she deserves some extra prayers because, it's a tough job. And even though I was doing nothing much than getting a message together, but on top of all the other things that, doing that, she was also assisting with the operation of the church and most importantly, keeping in touch with y'all. And so in keeping with that, Christy has something she would like to say.
First of all, for those of you that might not get the paper, I want to thank you all for your prayers and concerns for my son. He passed peacefully Wednesday night, and we went up, and I've never seen him look so calm. And we were going through his stuff, and I found a book that he was just tired, and he says, "I hate this world. It so stinks." He says, "When I pass," he says, "I would just like to see my daughter who died of SIDS and my loved ones that have passed and the family and be buried by a stream." And all I can say is he was so peaceful. And I know once God took him up there, he's having one heck of a family reunion because of everybody that went ahead of him. And when I went in, the nurse that was with him, Hannah, she came up to me, and I had to kind of chuckle a bit because she says, "I don't know if you're religious or well, you believe in it or what," she says, "but I just wanted to let you know I was praying for him when he took his last breath." And I thought, "Lady, where you been for the last 3 weeks?" I'm the most religious one in our family. So anyway, thank you again for your prayers and your concerns. It has really helped.
Thank you. And our thoughts and prayers will continue to be with you and also with Bob and Betty. Betty lost her son yesterday. And Bob told me just before the service, he said he had been sick for a long time. And when he came up to visit on July 4th, Bob said he was nothing but skin and bones. And he admired him for his guts and for his fighting spirit just to hang in there for all these years. So we've had some losses this past week in our church family, and our hearts go out to Christy and to your family and to Bob and Betty and her family. And so this is what life is about, It's kind of like oatmeal. It's good most of the time, but then it has lumps. I'm not making light of it. I mean, it seems like everything's going right in your life for a long time, and then everything seems to go wrong. And that's my experience of life. You go through those stretches. It'd be nice if they were evenly spaced, those hard times, but it never seems to be the case, does it? But we are here to praise God, to give thanks, and to witness to our faith as we join together in worship. And so let's listen to this. I love this hymn for the theme of today about God raising us up on eagle's wings. That this is a great hymn. "Great is thy faithfulness."
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow. Let's join in our call to worship, shall we? Glorious God, we gather to worship you and to receive your blessing. Radiant God, we gather to receive the gift of your holy light shining on us. Sheltering God, we gather to thank you as we pray. Trustworthy God, we gather to thank you and celebrate God's mercy and grace as we receive your blessings that are always within and around us. Amen. Let us be in prayer. On this morning, O God, as we gather in the beauty of the sunrise, and in the coolness of the morning, for which we are so grateful, we also know that we are surrounded by dark clouds of loss and grief. And our hearts go out to our brothers and sisters who have gone through so much this past week and in the months previous. So as we gather together, O God, comfort us all, encourage us, build us up. Help us to walk lovingly and faithfully with you. And help us, above all things, to be grateful. Grateful in good times, of course, and grateful, O God, when we are knocked down on the ground. In all things, O God, we know that you always uphold us and uplift us. And so we ask that you would do that with us this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I forgot to ask for a scripture reader this week, so with your indulgence, I will go ahead and read the psalm, and it's printed also in your bulletin. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word of God for God's people. Yeah. Now, I think most of you are familiar with the song On Eagle's Wings. It appears in our United Methodist hymnal as number 143. And I only knew it as a chorus for years. And it wasn't until I got to be at Colby United Methodist that I actually learned that there were verses. You know, there's a lot more to the chorus, and God will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in God's hands. So, you know, being the sheltered Methodist that I was, I didn't run around in broad ecclesiastical circles, so I wasn't exposed to a lot of different liturgy other than the ones that I had to work with every week with the congregation. But I do remember the time when the choir director at Colby United Methodist Church went to the big file cabinet full of old music and pulled out this On Eagle's Wings, which she said was an oldie but goodie. It was written in 1979. You know, for a lot of us, it doesn't seem that old, but it is. It is. And then it was for the first time that I saw, oh my gosh, there are verses to this tune? Oh, holy cow. Why didn't I know this? Why didn't I know this? Now, the title and chorus is based on Exodus 19:4, when God told Moses to say to the people, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Now, that's the chorus. The verses are a faithful paraphrasing of Psalm 91. So see how they track with the psalm in your bulletin. So if you will indulge me, if you can just stick your nose in the bulletin and follow along. Here are the verses. "You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings, your refuge, his faithfulness, your shield. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Now, I chose this song quite a long time ago, and I was thinking of ways that we could sing it together, but, you know, doggone COVID times, we've decided that we're not going to be singing loud together yet, and I don't know when that time will come. So I know that what I wanted to share with you kind of misses some of the impact that I thought was there in the song. But the song is beautiful, and for good reason it is much beloved. And we need to keep this in mind whenever we read this scripture in particular, but also the Psalms in general, because the Psalms are songs. Now, we don't have the tune for these songs anymore in their original mode of appearing, because they didn't have musical notation at that time. That was a relatively recent invention in the late Middle Ages. But, you know, this is meant to be sung. And the import of the song really isn't realized until you sing the doggone thing. And then this adaptation by Michael Jonkus just moves us today. Really moves us. And that, friends, is the power of Scripture. It's timeless. It has the ability to take those printed words off the page and transport us. And in this case, raise us up on eagle's wings. So when we read it at our tailgating with the Psalms this past Wednesday, now this past Wednesday it was only Winona and Yvonne and me, so, you know, it wasn't that many. But when we read it, you're always invited, by the way. You know, this coming week, I think it's Psalm 121. if you sit down with Julia and talk about it. But anyway, Winona's first reaction is that this psalm is, put it mildly, overly optimistic. Yeah. She pointed out that God's people through the ages have suffered and died through no fault of their own. So the promises here seem too good to be true, especially when it says in verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Now, I think most of us share that cautious reaction. Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. So, our caution is because we perceive the scripture not as a theological treatise, but in our hearts, I think we recognize that this is a piece of poetry. And poetry can engage in a little bit of creative exaggeration and hyperbole, and that's great, because those things really move us. I think it's like a musical version of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Yeah. Those are some of my favorite series of books, but every time I read them, you know, I'm reminded that, I don't quite live at that high level of gratitude for everything and positiveness and creativity that these writers do. I seem to be kicking around like a normal person most of the time, not seeing that. But this is a song that's chicken soup for the soul. And even though it may not reflect full reality, it makes it feel good. So if we can't guarantee that we shall not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, nor the plague that strikes at midday, or that no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, then how are we to understand a psalm like this? Well, I thought about it a long time, and I think that this song is all about living with faith and optimism instead of with fear and worry. It should set the tone for how we choose to approach the new day. Now, I believe that no matter what task we are facing, its outcome is largely determined by our attitude when we approach it. So when we look at some kind of endeavor that we are about to begin and we tell ourselves that this looks impossible, well, it's more than likely that it will prove to be impossible for us. And if we say that when we get up in the morning that this feels like a crummy day, then guess what? The rest of it is going to probably turn out to be a crummy day. But if we say something is possible when we first look at it, we will likely find some way to make it possible. And if we say that this is going to be a good day, then usually we're going to have a good day. It is better to live each day and approach our challenges with faith and optimism, especially because our lives belong to God. You know, since everything we are and everything we have belongs to God, we can live each day in security and confidence, and that's what this psalm is about. No matter what troubles may come our way, even death, still, we will believe and find a path to gratitude. The psalm concludes with these words. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, all we can say when we are faced with this scripture and with the whole Bible and the story of God's saving grace is that God will always be with us no matter what. You believe that? Yeah. God will be with us no matter what. As the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Christians in Rome in chapter 8, starting in verse 35, and this is one that just gets to me every time I read it, especially when we're talking about the loss of a loved one. He said this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to that we all say, amen. Amen. Yeah. We need to live each day with faith instead of fear. The pastor of my home church had this small banner mounted on the front of the pulpit. And it had these three simple and powerful words. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. In all that he said and all that he did, he promoted this idea. He said that God loves you and is intimately involved in your life in every facet, great or small, because that's the love that God has for God's kids. And if you allow God to be present in your life each day through your, as we say in our vows of membership, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. So if we take that faith of ours and bolster it with prayer and praise, and put it into action through love, well, God will work miracles in your life. And to put it differently, it's not that God doesn't work miracles in your life if you don't do these things. But if you do this, your eyes will be open to see God performing all the little miracles in your life that God delights in doing every day, whether you are aware of it or not. So expect a miracle. Yes, God is working miracles, large and small, in our lives each day. So some of my favorite rules for living: hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Yeah. This one, let us do our best and let God do the rest. And so let us put our whole trust in God so that he may raise us up on eagle's wings, bear us on the breath of dawn, make us to shine like the sun, and hold us in the palm of God's hand. Amen. Now, this choice of music, I thought, wow, what's going on here? Well, the verse, the last part of the last verse talks about God's recreation of the new day. And that is the truth. Every day when we get up, it is a new day, a chance for new life. So morning has broken. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Yes, applause is always due for these who serve us. Amen. Amen. Ah. So in our prayers this morning, we are, of course, lifting up Christy and her family, Bob and Betty and their families, and whom else can we lift up in prayer today? Ah, Christy. Yeah, and I'm bringing myself over there so I can hear you and so I can write this down. You can't hold the microphone.
Again, prayers for Linda Link. She goes in the 20th, and they're going to go up through her wrist to check her veins to make sure they're not clogged. If any are clogged, they'll put a stent in. But on the first weekend, I think she said, of October, if they find it, she will be having a heart maneuver, valve thing in her heart done.
So Linda Link is going in for heart valve surgery.
Yes.
So. All right, we will do that.
I would like to have prayers for my husband, who is crippled. He can hardly walk, but he still gets out there and does the yard. He just doesn't know. He's 87 going on 30, and that's it.
Tell me his name again.
Gordon Duncan.
Gordon, okay. So for Gordon, who somehow makes it through the day, is productive. Even I don't know how. Yeah.
But he just keeps on going like the little rabbit, you know.
Okay, for Gordon, who struggles every day with just disabling conditions, still keeps going. Prayers for him. Any other people we can lift up in prayer?
My sister Pam is here visiting with us, and she's just really having some family struggles and needed to get away. So prayers for her, and that her and Mom have a good visit while she's here.
Okay, prayers for Pam. Good. Any others? Yeah.
Traveling mercies for Reverend Julia and the Krauses, too.
Okay. Julia. And for not only traveling mercies, but as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, this is a tough job for somebody who's retired, even though you might think, oh, we're just a small congregation. But, yeah, you get, yeah, right.
Pray for the bishop who's not retired.
Yeah. For Bishop Stanowski, who has to keep going. Yeah. Okay. And I was reading this morning about the people living in Winthrop and Twisp, and how this is like, five of the past seven summers, they've had to deal with smoke. And not only is it injurious to our health, and especially to their children and the elderly, but it's an economic disaster. And on top of things, you know, starting to rebound from COVID over the past year, this summer was off to a great start. And then this happened, and now they've had weeks and weeks of this smoke hanging over them in the valley, and they've had the unhealthiest air in the whole country. So our thoughts are with our brothers and sisters living in Twisp and Winthrop, the Methow Valley, and for all those across the country that are affected by the fires in Oregon and California and British Columbia. First, for the healing of the earth, that we do our part to make it happen. Okay. Let's be in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your amazing grace that allows us to overcome. So we pray for Cindy and her family, for Bob and Betty and their families. We pray for Linda as she undergoes a heart valve surgery. We give you thanks for Gordon and ask that you would continue to bless him and sustain him and strengthen him and give him relief from his pain as he tries his best every day to be productive. We give you thanks for Winona's sister Pam. Help her with the things that she's facing right now. And may their visit together with Winona's mother go very well. We're thinking of traveling mercies, O God, for Julia and all the others as they travel back home from their time of being away. That you keep them safe. We pray for Pastor Julia in this tough little job that she has. My heart is with her because as a retired person, I understand that burden. And help her, O God, strengthen her and continue to give her creative insight as we walk together towards an uncertain future. But we give you thanks that you are with us every step of the journey. We pray the same for Bishop Sanofsky, who wanted to retire, but is, because of circumstances, going to continue to serve. We think of the people in our country, in our community, that are affected by the wildfires. So many have suffered loss, not only of physical things like houses and places of business and farms, but also for those who have lost income and most of all have lost health because of the smoke. Protect our firefighters out there on the front lines. We give you thanks for their hard work in saving so many things that we deem precious. And as we looked at a troubled world, O God, we are comforted by that prayer that you taught us, that saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." For that is what we earnestly live into each and every day. Hear our prayers this morning. Grant these in the name of Christ, who did teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, any announcements today? I know, Lynn, you're hosting the fellowship time at 11 o'clock. So I'm not going to keep you very much longer. Thank you for your indulgence. Okay. So I invite you to join in that time. Any other announcements I need to make? Okay. All right. Well, then, let us stand for the benediction. May the Lord raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you always in the palm of God's hands. Amen. Thank you. Amen.